Hello. Thank you to the band. That was great. As Sophie says, I'm Nick Cull. I'm church warden, actually, at St. Margaret Lothbury. I don't often get allowed to come across here, so I feel very privileged. When I was invited, I thought that that was obviously because people were on holiday or something like that, and I come and find the whole leadership team is here. So I'm slightly nervous, worried, and intimidated by this, but let's see if we can get through it. We always, as a team, pray before these services, and we pray for each other, the band, and we pray for you guys. And Jeremy opened in prayer by saying, "We're going to pray for Nick, who's leading worship today." And I suddenly panicked that I'd read the email incorrectly, but fortunately that was just a slight mistake, so that is a very lucky escape for all of you, I can assure you. So I've worked in the city for 30 years or more, and I love the city of London. I get a real buzz every time I come up the steps from Bank Station. I know I'm sad, but I love this church. And every time I come in here, the history of this church just astounds me. And I always have to mention John Newton and the fact that William Wilberforce worshipped here. It's just amazing to think about what has happened on this very spot going back hundreds and hundreds of years. And I'm really into history, and I'm particularly into what happened on this day in years gone by. So I thought, well, okay, let's look it up. So you're going to be staggered to realise that in 1617, the first one-way street opened. And it opened, I know, unbelievable, I knew you'd be shocked. And it opened within a very short walk from here. Because if you've ever tried to back up a horse and carriage, it's quite difficult. So that was the first one-way street. We're going to have more of that later. I know that you probably can't wait. But in the meantime, shall we have a little look? We're still continuing our session on Romans. And today we're looking at Romans 6, verses 20 to 23, which you'll find on page 1070 in your Bibles. So that's Romans 6, 20 to 23. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow, that is quite a passage. I'm assured by Jeremy, as I don't know very many of you, that you're all incredibly holy people, and probably none of this applies to you, but we're going to look at it anyway. In fact, the whole of this chapter of Romans is a wow chapter. It's a chapter we should look at more often, and I've been enjoying it as we've gone through it this time. So Paul is showing us why believing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ does not make us indifferent to sin, but it's dead set against sin in our own lives. And interestingly, there is not one word in Romans 6 about other people's sin. It's only focused on our sin. Your sin and my sin in this entire chapter. Now, I think I'm going to have to go back to it already, our one-way street. One of the first things that you have to learn after you've passed your driving test, or perhaps even before you pass your driving test, is how to read a map. Although these days it's perhaps slightly easier with sat-nav. It's important to go the right way. When I was very young, and that is also deep in history, I was very lucky. I had a very loving mum and dad. I was an only child. They were really poor, and we had a very old second-hand Ford Popular, black sit-up-and-beg Ford Popular. Now, in those days, it didn't have air conditioning. It certainly didn't have sat-nav. It didn't even have a heater. And it had a little switch on the dashboard that you'd turn left and a thing would come out of the side to show which way you were going. That was my job to do that. No seat belts. But I don't know what it is in your relationships or whatever, who drives and who actually navigates? Well, my mum couldn't drive, so my dad drove, my mum navigated, you can imagine. Now, they were lovely and they got on brilliantly and they had fantastic banter, but one day we're driving along the road and my mum suddenly said, keep left. So my dad veers left up this country lane and she says, what are you doing? And he said, I've gone left. You said, keep left. She said, I was only reading the signs. And so we went completely the wrong way. There was a bit more than banter that day. Now, we hear stories of people driving the wrong way around the M25. You know, that obviously can lead to very serious consequences. But the point's obvious. When it comes to Christian ethics, this is often missed. The rules are there because they are the rules of the road. And it matters which road we take. It really matters which road we take. One road leads to disaster. The other, to life. It leads to eternal life. It leads to life in all its fullness. If we choose to live in a certain way, it can be really destructive, not just to us, but to the people around us. If, and this doesn't apply, Jeremy told me it doesn't apply, if we drink too much and then suddenly lose our temper or start to smash things up, this is just not affecting our own lives, it's affecting other people's lives. If we get violent, that doesn't affect just us. It affects other people. It affects the people around us. Conversely, when people behave in the pattern that's set out in the gospel and set out in Paul's teaching, there are signs of life already at work. Eternal life comes to the person, comes to the people whose faith in Christ is real, who receives Christ not just as a truth, but as a treasure. Eternal life is a free gift from God. Just think about that. What a gift. It's not something that we earn. It's not something that has to be repaid. If someone we love gives us a gift, do we not say thank you? Do we not treasure that because they've gone to the trouble of buying us a gift? We don't turn it down. We don't offer to pay for it. Our salvation is a gift of God, a gift from God. What I'd like to do now is just read you the same passage that we've looked at, but from the Message Bible, because I think this really puts it so succinctly. So exactly the same passage, Romans 6, 20 to 23, but from the Message. As long as you did what you felt like doing, ignoring God, you didn't have to bother with right thinking or right living or right anything for that matter. But do you call that a free life? What did you get out of it? Nothing you're proud of now. Where did it get you? A dead end. But now that you've found you don't have to listen to sin tell you what to do and have discovered the delight of listening to God telling you, what a surprise. A whole, healed, put together life right now, with more and more of life on the way. Work hard for sin your whole life and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus, our Master. In southern England, in a bustling small town called Olney, which is in the parish now of Milton Keynes, there is a big commemorative stone of an old pastor, and it reads, John Newton, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the mercy of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long laboured to destroy. And a copy of that plaque is on the wall over there for some of you that hadn't had a chance to have a look around the church. Have a little look. So John Newton, who actually was the incumbent here for something like 27 years, went from disgrace to amazing grace. Amen.